Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. Here is our latest update on COVID-19 in Pennsylvania. As of 12 a.m. this morning, we have 822 new cases of COVID-19. This brings our statewide total to 63,056 Pennsylvanians who have tested positive for COVID-19 in all 67 counties. This includes 4,479 positive cases in healthcare workers. It also includes 13,626 positive cases among residents of 561 long-term care living facilities, which include nursing homes and personal care homes. 2,422 positive cases have been found in the food industry in 159 facilities. Tragically, 4,505 deaths in Pennsylvania have been attributed to COVID-19. We have done a lot of work to analyze the tremendous amount of data that we continue to receive regarding COVID-19 deaths. Under the best of circumstances, it often takes us several months, usually, to quantify and qualify this information. Our team of epidemiologists and data analysts have done extensive work to prepare more refined data for us, and I want to thank them for their extraordinary efforts. We have made a significant push to not only reconcile our data, but to report it in a timely way. For example, we are now reconciling data with the Philadelphia County Health Department on a daily basis. Previously, our data regarding deaths from COVID-19 came from our disease surveillance system, which we have talked about, and that's PA-NEDS. This process involved taking information reported about deaths from providers and matching that up with people who had tested positive. PA-NEDS is extremely effective in reporting disease outbreaks. But as we all know now, we have never seen a disease outbreak like COVID-19 in 102 years, with such a high and rapidly changing mortality rate. Today's data report regarding deaths will now look different among the counties. We have transitioned to using the Electronic Death Reporting System, or EDRS, to get as near to real-time information regarding people whose deaths have been attributed to COVID-19, in addition to those who have tested positive for COVID-19. We have done a significant amount of work to look at these official death records, and counties will now see some differences in their counts. For example, if a person who resided in a nursing home died from COVID-19, but actually maintained a residence in another county, their death will be reported in their county of residence listed on their death record. And that's according to the CDC guidelines about how we're supposed to report deaths. That might be very different than how the county coroners report deaths because of differences in their regulations. However, it is still very important to know how many people who reside in a specific long-term care facility like a nursing home or personal care home have been impacted by COVID-19. So, if someone who resided in that nursing home went on to die from COVID-19, we will be informing the public about their death in two different places on our website. Now, that's not being double counted, but we'll be reporting it in two different ways to relay both of those pieces of information. First, they included based on their county of their legal residence, and that's listed on their death record, but that might not be their nursing home. They will also be included in the count of cases attributed to the facility, even if that's in a different county of their county of residence. So we're not double reporting, but it'll be listed in two different data sets. This means that these two charts on our website, our total death count and our long-term care facility death count, may not exactly match up because of the difference in terms of the county of their residence where the CDC mandates that we report our data. In addition, we've worked to add more information, more granularity, to demographics associated with people who have died from COVID-19. We will be reporting this information on a weekly basis and have broken down the data into categories which include race, ethnicity, gender, age, and their comorbidities, and we are doing this statewide. This information is available now on our website at health.pa.gov. As we go on, we will continue to add more data to our website and make it as transparent and clear as we possibly can. Now, here are my daily reminders. Please wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, or the time it takes to sing Happy Birthday twice. Please use hand sanitizer if soap and water are not available. Cover any coughs or sneezes with your elbow, not with your hands, and don't touch your face, especially after touching surfaces. Clean surfaces frequently. And if you have to go out for life-sustaining activities, please wear a mask if you're going to come into contact with others. If you have questions about your health, please contact your health care provider. And if you need mental health resources, because you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis, please contact the crisis text line by texting PA to 741741 or call the statewide support and referral helpline at 1-855-284-2494. Again, 1-855-284-2494. If you or someone you know is experiencing problems with an addiction, please call the helpline at 1-800-662-HELP. Again, 1-800-662-HELP. For the most reliable information regarding Pennsylvania's response to COVID-19, please visit our website at health.pa.gov. And what is most important for Pennsylvanians to remember, stay calm, stay home, and stay safe. And now I'm pleased to answer questions.
Thank you, Secretary. From the Bucks County Courier-Times, when is the Secretary rolling out the plan to do mass testing at all long-term care facilities, residents, and staff on a weekly basis? And what are some specific details, such as will 100% of the staff and residents be tested weekly, and will there be retests? How will the department determine if long-term care providers are doing the testing?
Mm-hmm. So we're going to be rolling out that plan this week, and not necessarily every facility will be tested weekly. It's going to be individualized to the facility depending upon how many cases of COVID-19 they have. We have facilities that unfortunately have significant amount of COVID-19 cases. They'll be tested differently than a facility that has a few, which will be different than a facility that has no cases of COVID-19. So we're going to work to individualize the testing strategy to the facility.
The Bucks County Courier-Time also asks, when is the Secretary going to release the department's early plan to battle the COVID-19 virus in long-term care facilities that was not implemented?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of that was actually discussed by the governor and Director Padfield. I mean, so we had talked about previously having teams, sometimes they're called strike teams, but teams to go out to nursing facilities to help with infection control and staffing. So we have implemented that with the National Guard teams that were discussed. We actually now have some CDC teams that are going out, and so that will be announced. And then we're working on further strike teams. It was that strike team plan that was in our initial drafts, and there was some delay in rolling that out, but it has been rolled out.
From KDKA, according to your office, the collection of specific data from nursing homes in the state only started yesterday. Mm-hmm. There was some confusion that those numbers were to be reported last week. So did something change in that process?
I think there was some hope that we'd be able to report it last week, but it turns out that the data started to be collected yesterday, and we're going to start the reports tomorrow.
A follow-up to that, your office also said the deadline for facilities to cooperate was today. What happens if they don't?
Well, if they don't, then we'll be contacting them to ask them to cooperate. This is the same data that they're actually being mandated to report to the federal government and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. We did wait on our data reporting plan so that our data system, in terms of this reporting, was the same as CMS's, so that the reporting would be consistent.
Also from the Bucks County Courier-Times, Why does the department need additional time to release the facility-level long-term care infection and death data? Your department says it started collecting May 17th. Hasn't it been collecting it all along? And if so, why the delay in releasing it?
Well, we have been collecting information, but in a completely different way. Again, we have different data reporting systems or internal systems, as we've been discussing today in terms of death reporting. We wanted to make sure ours was consistent with CMS. Otherwise, it would be apples and oranges. And so we waited for the CMS guidance. That came about 10 days ago. And then we worked on it last week, and now it's going to be starting to be reported tomorrow.
From Fox 56, are you seeing improvements in nursing homes since the new testing strategy was released?
I think we're seeing progress in long-term care living facilities with all of the different measures that we have in place, the infectious disease consults by our team and ECRI's team, the work of the Patient Safety Authority, the work of the National Guard, many different programs that we have to help these facilities. But I don't want to underestimate the challenges. You do have seniors, many if not most, with chronic medical conditions in a congregate setting. And so our state, as has New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts and Illinois and other states, have had significant challenges with these facilities. And to repeat myself from before, we're going to do everything we possibly can to protect the residents and the staff of these long-term care living facilities.
From WTAE, this morning the state's website began reporting 38 deaths in Westmoreland County, while the coroner is reporting 32. Can you offer any information about what led to this discrepancy?
I don't know the in terms of the specific county, but our team can investigate that and get back to you. But there will be some differences from our previous reporting because of what we just discussed and talked about.
From WTAE, also, what is the suicide rate since the shutdown, and what has the suicide rate been since the stay-at-home orders first began?
I don't have that specific information. Suicide rates are challenging to get. We get that information from our county coroners. And as we discussed, we have absolutely wonderful coroners working with the Coroners Association, but there are 67 of them. And so reporting from the coroners can be delayed somewhat as they do their investigations. So I don't have specific numbers, but we are concerned in terms of people who are depressed and anxious and feeling isolated and might be at risk for suicide. We're also extremely concerned in terms of substance abuse, particularly opioid abuse. And those are all things that we'll be working on in collaboration with our sister departments of the Department of Human Services and the Department of Drug and Alcohol Programs.
Also from WTAE, what has the overdose rate been since the stay-at-home orders began taking effect?
Mm-hmm. So again, I don't have those numbers. It takes a while for overdose rates to come in, as I was previously describing. We have worked on that for a number of years now with our excellent coroners in terms of overdose reporting. But we are concerned, very concerned, in terms of opioid abuse and opioid deaths due to overdoses.
From the Scranton Times-Tribune, during the last month or so, a trend has emerged between Lackawanna and Luzerne counties. Initially, the amount of new cases being reported in Luzerne County was substantial. Since then, new cases in Luzerne County have sharply declined, and the number of cases in Lackawanna County appear static. Is that this also a trend observed by the Department of Health, and are there insights to explain why new cases have been dropping in Luzerne but have remained steady in Lackawanna?
I don't have specific granular detail, but our team can do a deep dive in terms of the data from those counties and then get back to the reporter.
Also from the Scranton Times, the death toll in Lackawanna dropped substantially today with smaller decreases in Luzerne and Pike counties. Any idea what happened, and did it have anything to do with the switch in reporting system?
Yes, it would be due to the switch in the reporting system. Again, it's most likely due to individuals who passed away in those counties, maybe at a hospital or at a long-term care living facility, but actually their county of residence was a different county. Unlike the coroners who would report it in their county of death, we have to report it in their county of residence, and so that's most likely the cause, but we can check on that.
From the caucus, the data you gathered for Speaker Terzai indicates an age breakdown showing almost 88% of deaths were people 65 or older. Are you surprised by the magnitude, and what does the data about comorbidity tell you?
Mm-hmm. I'm not particularly surprised. I think that clearly the data from Pennsylvania and the data from other other states and other countries show that seniors are most at risk of having severe complications to COVID-19 and tragically passing away. The seniors that would be most at risk are those with other types of medical comorbidities or other medical conditions that can include heart disease, such as, for example, congestive heart failure, lung disease, such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, that would include chronic bronchitis and emphysema, kidney disease, diabetes, uncontrolled hypertension. So we know that those individuals are most at risk from COVID-19. But there are others at risk. They don't have a much less death rate, but they do have significant rates of illness, and that includes young adults and middle-aged adults. And of course, now we know that children are at risk of the new multi-system inflammatory condition.
From the Daily Press, if and when youth are allowed to resume participation in organized sports and other activities, is there evidence to suggest that the virus could spread among them asymptomatically and potentially infect their parents, grandparents, and other caregivers? Are youth being found less likely to contract, or are youth being found less likely to contract the virus altogether?
Well, we're still learning a lot of information about COVID-19. In general, youth and young people are less likely to have severe symptoms, and be either asymptomatic or have very mild symptoms. Of course, they could then carry that to their parents. So that's one of the concerns in terms of this type of community spread. Now, the multi-system inflammatory disease is actually post-infectious. It can be often several weeks after the COVID-19 infection and seems to be an inflammatory response to the virus that the body is mounting. So that's a separate issue.
From WLVR, can you give an update on antibody testing in the state? Is it widely available, and can Pennsylvania easily access it with low cost?
Mm-hmm. So we are working at getting that laboratory testing available at our laboratory. We probably should have that by the end of the month. There are some hospitals that are doing antibody testing, and I know that Quest and LabCorp are doing antibody testing. So someone could obtain that test by talking to their doctor and having the blood drawn. This is a blood test to look for antibodies. What we don't know yet is how long-lived those antibodies are, how long they last, and how much immunity they convey to the person, how protective they are. So we're going to be looking for that type of information as we get into the summer.
From the Post-Gazette, why is the Guard leaving Brighton tomorrow, and what goal did they achieve?
Mm-hmm. Well, they achieved a significant amount of progress at that facility and helped in terms of staffing and infection control and many aspects of the facility. Their mission is now being completed, and there's actually other staffing coming to Brighton. There's some overlap, and then the National Guard would leave for their next mission.
From the Tribune Review, can you explain what the new death data dashboard is showing and how it is different than what we were getting before? Specifically, what is the percentage column showing?
Well, I'm going to have to look at the percentage column, but what this data is from a different system. This is from our electronic death reporting system, and so it's obtained in a different way. One of the things that we're going to have to deal with, as I was describing, is in terms of the differences between where a person passed away and what county they might be from and how that gets reported.
From Spotlight PA, the state is reporting 87 new deaths today, but a close look at the data reveals that death counts for a handful of counties have in fact dropped overnight. Why doesn't the health department's messaging today in emails and on the website reflect the full scope of what's happening?
Well, I believe we are reflecting the full scope, especially as we're reporting it in several different ways.
From Fox 43, any update on the recovery tracking, and when will the public be able to see any of that data?
We'll have that available this week.
And also from Fox 43, instead of bringing recovering coronavirus patients to nursing homes, is the state exploring other options to care for these elderly individuals and keep residents at long-term care facilities safe?
Well, we want to do everything we can to keep patients safe, and we'll explore every possibility of how to do that. Nothing has been easy, especially with the challenges faced in terms of these long-term care living facilities, but we're going to explore every opportunity we can to keep them safe.
From WKOK, We noticed some changes in death counts in our area. Montour County no longer has a death, and Snyder has one instead of two. Northumberland now has two. Any insight into these changes?
I think that these would be due to what we exactly talked about. Where a person passed away might not be their county of residence. And so with this transition today, there has been some changes, although from now on it'll be consistent because this is how we're going to be reporting deaths.
From WKOK, from a local VFW, will clubs, American Legion, VFW, fire companies, be allowed to open? Many say they could easily do the social distancing. They could wear masks, gloves, sanitize frequently, etc. It's not just the socialization. They support many community endeavors.
Mm-hmm. So certainly not in the red zone. We'll have to look at the yellow zone guidance in terms of those type of facilities in the yellow zone. And we're developing our green zone guidance this week.
From the Daily American, our county had one death and now has zero. We do not have any nursing home cases. A neighboring county had one and now is reporting two. Is it possible that our county case is now being attributed to another county?
I'm not sure which counties you're discussing, but it's very possible, yes.
From the Tribune Democrat, a new weekly death report says, the new weekly death report says the place of death of the decedent is reported by the medical certifier, such as physician, CRNP, or coroner, based on the physical location where the death occurred. Does that mean if a person who lives in one county is taken to a hospital in a different county, does that mean that they would be listed in the county where the hospital is located?
So that's how the coroners would list a patient. They are required by their regulations to list individuals who pass away by the county where they passed away. So if they were in a hospital in County B, they'd be listed under County B. Our guidance and requirements from the CDC is to list them in their county of residence. And so that's why there are some differences.
From the Republican Herald, would the department consider subtracting long-term care facility cases from the county's total in determining the 50 cases per 100,000 benchmark? In the case of Schuylkill County, where the latter number is growing rapidly, it halves the county's benchmark number over the past 2 weeks to well below 50. We realize there are employers from that facility that come and go in the public, but a majority of the cases are residents who, of course, are confined, and some believe that suggests those cases could or should be counted separately.
Mm-hmm. We've discussed this before in terms of how public health officials and epidemiologists look at counties. We consider the whole county, and so that would include hospitals in that county. That would include long-term care living facilities in that county. It would include county or state prisons in that county, or food industry and manufacturers in that county. So we include all of those different types of facilities in a county's numbers.
From the Altoona Mirror, have death statistics been adjusted retroactively? In other words, the county of residence versus nursing home deaths?
I'm not sure the answer to that question. We're going to have to check and we'll get back to you.
From the Butler Eagle, it's EMS week. Can you offer a comment on the efforts of EMS across the state through this pandemic?
Absolutely. Our emergency medicine technicians and staff have done such a absolutely fantastic job during this entire crisis. They were doing a fantastic job before, but we owe them a debt of gratitude for their heroism and their bravery dealing with this crisis of COVID-19, and I would like to thank them.